Wagner on the Gospel of John, narrated by Timothy Turner. Chapter 3, Revealing the Glory. There were three different occasions when Jesus on earth is said to have manifested his glory. The first was at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. The second was when he took Peter, James, and John into an high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. And the third was at the grave of Lazarus. These are to show us that it is not merely when we go apart from the world that the glory of God may appear to us and be manifested in us, but when we are engaged in the most common affairs of life. Since the earth is full of His glory, it is most fitting that it should at all times be revealed. Even so it is to all and in all who believe. Jesus was about 30 years of age when He began His public ministry. Before that time, we have only one glimpse of him, for a single day when he was 12 years old, and as a son of the synagogue, was allowed to engage in the temple worship. Then follow 18 years of work at the carpenter's bench, entirely lost to public view. A mighty work was committed to him, and from earliest childhood he knew that he must be about his Father's business. Yet he seems to have made no haste to appear in public. Shall we say that he was not doing his Father's business all the time? Not by any means. What a lesson to us, who are so prone to think that we are not doing any active service for the Master, unless we are engaged in some public service. And then note how often in the very short time he had for public labor, we find him attending some feast or other. He never seems to have been in a hurry. Why not? The reason is that he dwelt in eternity and labored in its strength. He who has all eternity need never be hurried, and even so with him who labors with the power of an endless life. But whether attending a wedding feast or preaching to the multitudes, Jesus was about his Father's business. The glory of God was always revealed, whether he ate or drank, or preached. The wine gave out, but what mattered that when the true wine was present? The element of time does not count in any of the Lord's works. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Then how easy for him to accelerate the process of the production of wine by the grapevine and do the work of a year in a minute. The thing which Jesus did, turning water into wine, is what he does every year. The rain falls from heaven, the earth receives it, and the rootlets of the vine drink it up. Then, by the warmth and sunlight, it is drawn up and deposited in the clusters, and transformed into delicious wine. Do not forget that the new wine is found in the cluster, Isaiah 65:8. It is wine while it is yet sealed up in the skin of the grape. Just as the fruit, if it is bruised and broken and exposed to the air, soon decays and becomes unfit for food, so does the wine, when taken from its original flask in which it is hermetically sealed and exposed to the air so that it ferments, becomes unfit for human consumption. Suppose any man should be asked to take a glass of water and turn it into wine. The request would be in vain. Well, do not ask him to do it instantly. Give him a year in which to perform the task. That is no better. At the close of the year, he would be no nearer the completion of his task than at the beginning. Let him have 10 years, 100 years. The result is the same, nothing. Moreover, he cannot tell how it is done. Thus we see that the miracle does not consist in the fact that the water was turned into wine instantly, but in the fact that it was done at all. The miracle that is performed every year by what is called natural growth is as great as the miracle at Cana of Galilee. That was done in a way to call attention to the fact that it is Jesus who produces the fruits of the earth in taking the pure blood of the grape as well as of any other fruit. We are taking the life of Christ. The blood is the life. And when Jesus took the cup at the Last Supper, he said, "This is my blood." it is not an infrequent thing to hear or read of some reformed drunkard who has had the old taste revived by the wine used at the communion service and has relapsed into the old habits, and others dare not partake for fear of the consequences. Shall we say that it was the blood of Christ that caused him to fall? Impossible. His blood does not lead into sin, but cleanses from all sin. No, that was not the Lord's Supper. Nobody ever gets drunk or tempted to drunkenness at the Lord's table. The fermented wine that is by some thought to be absolutely essential to the observance of the Lord's Supper has nothing whatever in common with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, by which we are redeemed. The cup that could by any possibility make the tenderest child or the most delicate woman intoxicated, or that can arouse slumbering passions in any man, is not the communion of the blood of Christ, but the cup of devils. It is not the cup of blessing, but the cup of cursing. It is a terrible thing thus to misrepresent Christ. He provides only that which gives life and peace. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. There was no transfiguration seen here. The person of Jesus did not shine. There was nothing about him that anybody could see any more than with the other guests at the feast. Yet he manifested forth his glory. So we see that power, the power of God which works miracles, is glory. Power and glory are synonymous in God's vocabulary. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20, we read of the working of God's mighty power, by which he raised Jesus from the dead. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we are told that Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Thus we see that God's power is his glory. We are to be strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. According to the riches of his glory, we are to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. There is no power but of God. There is but one force in the universe, and that is the life of the Lord. But there are an infinite variety of manifestations of it. We ourselves are daily witnesses of the fact that glory, visible glory, light, is power. The huge steamship, with its hundreds of passengers and thousands of tons of freight, is driven across the ocean by engines that are fed with coal that in a few days gives off the accumulated sunlight of centuries, and now they give it forth in one great blaze, which is seen to be power. God's people are trees of righteousness, growing by the light of the sun of righteousness. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, any more than the trunk of the oak shows the careless passer-by the glory that is stored up within. But when the Lord comes, the glory will be revealed, for then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. But in the meantime their glory is manifested forth in good works, which God does by them. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The mother of Jesus said to the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. We do not know their names, yet they have an active part in the performance of the miracle. They brought the water and filled the vessels, and they drew out the wine. If we are his servants, ready to do his bidding, he will use us in the performance of many mighty works. When the thousands of hungry people were in the desert, Jesus said to the disciples, Give ye them to eat. And so they did. All the vast multitudes received food at the hands of the 12, but they received it from the Lord of life and glory. To us comes the command, Hear him. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. without asking any questions. If the servants of that house in Cana had refused to fill the water pots with water, because they could not see how any good could come from it, the miracle would have been performed, but they would have been disgraced. Let us beware of losing our opportunity through doubt and hesitation, and the glory of his wondrous deeds will at the last be shared with us. January 5, 1899.